Dirty D, Shocker, an IcemanManiacs.com podcast exclusive.
Iceman Insights is going into overtime.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is!
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot. That's what she said. First circus. Vitaleri Filippula.
Use your big boy words.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
And we are back.
Woohoo!
Iceman Insights. Overtime! Starring Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, vice president of Offbeat Shenanigans, and communications czar for your Iceman Booster Club, and myself, the Dirty D. And I just want to, if you are listening to this segment right now, one, we want to say thank you very much. We love doing the bonus coverage. And two, I want to apologize for the show. It has been a very stressful week since this last show, and I'm a little unhinged, and I think that was just some therapeutic, just
Jason Dale!
Yes, it was just...
First circus!
I'm sorry, everyone, but it just felt really good just to say a bunch of nonsense and not have to get in trouble the first time
in
an hour.
You said all that nonsense, but you didn't once bring up Steven Rickard's testicles.
No, I did twice.
You mentioned his taters.
The same thing. They're shaped like taters. I've got
Have you seen them?
I can tweet that as well. I'll tweet the orange ice, and I'll tweet Rickard's taters. So
Wow. Prepare
for that on Saturday afternoon.
I'm so glad this overtime segment is not subject to the FCC. Yeah. We really could do it rated R. So
I was thinking about that earlier today because I am ready to blow off some steam. Well, I thought, how many kids are actually listening to this? Can I drop some F-bombs? Because it would be so good swear.
What we could do is, we tried to figure out last week, how do we end the overtime segment? We could end it with a rated R segment.
Yeah.
We could wait till the very end and be like, all right, if there's kids listening, put them to bed.
Yeah, that's all and good. But you know how it is. There's that one horrible parent that lets their kids listen to it and then makes a big stink about it.
Yeah,
so.
True. So...
which is probably my wife.
Yeah. So for those that didn't catch it, because I think it was kind of buried late in overtime last week, for those that didn't listen all the way through, if not, why the heck not?
But because it was an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you mentioned last week that because of Coach Pyle being omnipresent and omnipotent, you are going to occasionally slip some interesting scoops and info in during overtime. So that's
hoping hoping that he's not listening,
right.
And two, verifying whether he is listening or not.
Right. So that's reason to listen to overtime because you may get some interesting stuff. Of course, if you're listening to this, then maybe we should have mentioned that on the on-air portion. You know, people are already listening to it. We're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah. I think he's already loosened up anyways because I don't think he listened to the show last night. I'm pretty sure.
Why, was there stuff you thought would get you in trouble?
Yeah.
I see. Okay, should we dive right in?
Yeah, let's start.
All right. Inside Iceman HQ, we did this last week and I had a bunch of bullets and I think we ended up killing about 45 minutes that way.
Yep.
This week there's only a couple bullets.
Good.
This is when we drill the mouth of the Iceman. See what I did there?
I do like that.
Yeah. About what's going on at the Iceman office. My first,
I just have to mention it off the top of the my wife's birthday is December 28th is when the Fur Circus shows up.
Oh, really?
So that may be the next time I get drilled.
Oh boy.
So yeah, we're a little bit more looser on this segment.
So it's certainly better than this. How did your first game broadcast go?
That broadcast was awesome. It was not without difficulties and surprises, like talking with WEOA and agreeing on just having a 15-minute pregame show, and then WEOA forgetting that we had that agreement and putting me on the air. So I was unprepared for a 30-minute pregame show, but it went smoothly. Had guests. We've got the Brian Patafi segment. That worked out really well. I interviewed Sam Fatorik and put that on the air, and it was a really cool interview with him. Orthopedic Associates joins us before every home game. That went really well. And then I also had the goaltender from the Kalamazoo Wings, Joel Martin, did an interview with him as well. So all went fantastic, and probably my favorite part was having the opportunity in the second period to say hello and we miss you to Brad Perkins, who I knew would be listening because he's working in Calgary or Alberta. So got to give him a shout-out. So, but the rest of it, the broadcast went really well. I was frustrated a couple of times. We had a breakaway. It was one of Nathan Moon's in the second period, I think, that he didn't score. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of those, I saw it develop, and I was so excited, and the words just failed me. It was like, and we've got a breakout pass. Get a job by the Moon!
did you then say, use your big boy words?
Oh, not on that one I did it. Nope, we're professionals in that booth. So that was about the only little frustration, but Brad Perkins mentioned it on the Asylum, and it was one of the things I was most excited about. We were all over Kalamazoo in that first period. We had three breakaways, and we had the goal. You know, the Sakaris breakaway got stopped, but then Seidel gets a great pass from out of the corner, and we had them totally on their heels. Mm-hmm. And they came right out after that 11-minute goal and tried to scare us and enforce their physical presence, and Matty Krug just jaw-jacked that guy in the corner, and I just right on the air, I said, and Matt Krug just stuck his fist in that guy's puss. after I said that, I'm like, this is going to be a fun year.
Yeah.
So.
What was your call of when the guy got his face or got his fist up in Larkin's face, and then Larkin came back and just punched him, basically?
Then he turtled. I said, Taylor smoked him, just took a cheap shot, hoping the ref wasn't watching, and just smoked Larkin right in the face. And Larkin got his gloves off and beat him down with two shots to the face before he could turtle on the ice. So that was the call of that one.
I agree. That was a frustrating part of it. Like, you know,
and the rumor I heard on the ice was, not going to name my sources, that Taylor guy was going around slashing ankles and knees after the whistle all night long.
Oh.
So
he deserved to get beat to a pulp.
Yep.
And then when he had the opportunity to be beaten to a pulp, he pushed out.
Yep. Indeed.
So what, with the on-air time, how is that going to be going forward? Is it going to
be 30 minutes? Nope, 30 minutes. Oh. We're doing 30 minutes. So
they basically said, no, you're going to do
well.
Was that in the contract?
It's not really a contract thing. They've got advertising, and there's more advertising spots to sell, but the advertising is there, so we got to wrap the show around it. And it's easy to deal with once you're prepared for it. I just wasn't. I'm talking about the ice. I'm talking hockey, so it was easy to cover 30 minutes. Yeah,
right.
But it's a little shocking.
It's like this show.
Yes.
You know, when this show started, we were going to do 15 minutes every week. And it's not like we set out and went, no, we have to expand this to an hour or even more. It just kind of happens because you get people talking about something they love, and next thing you know, time flies by, and you're in the studio here until 5 o'clock.
Yes, exactly.
So that kind of brings me to the second bullet of Inside Iceman HQ. Can you talk a little more about the chaos during the final days and hours leading up to the opener and then after as well? I mean, you already mentioned that you, not intentionally obviously, but dropped the ball on getting the player of the week and stuff submitted. And it's not like you neglected to do it on purpose. It's just there's a million things going on and it fell through the cracks. And the league stat thing, too, that we mentioned or you talked about before we went on air. So
yeah, I was going to mention that. The chaos began after the show last week. Got done Wednesday afternoon, 2:30-ish, and actually a little early because Brian couldn't come over.
Right.
And went back, was just going to take care of sharpened a couple of pairs of skates, and then went back, going to do a couple of emails and leave for the day. And I get an email from the ECHL that says, oh, surprise, remember, rosters are due this afternoon. This afternoon. And they're an hour ahead.
Yeah.
So there's it's like 4 so o'clock.
Three
it's already,
Eastern yes. was the deadline, technically.
Yes, 3 Eastern was the deadline. I got the email at 3:30 Central. So I spent the rest of that evening putting our league stat roster together, and it has just been a whirlwind since then with everything that needed to get done. Not only do I is there ECHL requirements, but I'm also the liaison between the off-ice official crew chief and the ECHL and the Iceman. So there's tons of stuff to do there as well. And I have not stopped working on the Iceman when I have been awake since 3 o'clock that Wednesday afternoon until the game. Other than the 4 hours of work I did for the Youth Incorporated Castle Night football broadcast Friday night. But other than that, I have been working on Iceman stuff or I've been unconscious.
Not to get off topic, but that's what we do here. how is that going to work with the Castle broadcasts?
That was my last one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. The Iceman stuff comes first.
Right.
So
yeah,
I had to miss the North game because of the blue-white Owensboro game.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but it works out pretty good because of the 10, no, they're 6-3. So of the 9 regular season games, I did 8 of them, and now sectional start, and I can't do the playoffs, but the number 2 guy who does basketball, Dane Helt, he's number 1 for basketball. He's the backup for football, so he'll take it from here.
So they've got it taken care of. That's good. So,
but yes, just absolute chaos. And then you've got to print out all these game notes. I guess one of my frustrations is my background is in quality control. And so I'm used to building systems with job instructions and rules and making it easy for your employees. The mindset that I've always been a part of, my friend Jimmy Poor was a plant manager. I was the quality manager. And everything was about what I believe in is leadership has to provide the tools for the people that do the job to get the job done.
Makes sense. And
that's the way I try to do things. And the ECHL is not quite there.
Yeah.
So they have all these rules about how to do this stuff, but no descriptions on how to do it. So it talks about game notes, but it doesn't really tell you where the game notes are. So I woke up at 6:30 Saturday morning. I couldn't sleep anymore. I actually woke up at 4:30 and said, I might as well just get up. And I realized what time it was. So I actually fell asleep till 6 and then finally just got out of bed and started doing stuff. But I forgot to give the game notes to the officials. And then I forgot about, some of our media might want game notes. So I kept running back and I tried to take my computer over to help the off-ice officials. Mm-hmm. But then when I had problems, I had to keep taking my computer back to print out more stuff. I went across about 5 times between the Ford Center.
Yeah, you were wearing that out.
Yeah, and it was just opening night chaos. And Stephen Halber, Jen Palmer, Jeff Meidenhauser all did a fantastic.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Meisendilopula.
Valenturifalipula?
Did a fantastic job just dealing with league stat and all the off-ice stuff. So, and Chad Burley, of course. So that all worked well. And I think we beat ourselves up. I beat myself up more than we needed to, but boy, it felt like chaos.
Well, I think it always is.
And part of it, too, is I've been doing this for 5 years, and no one has ever helped me. So I have always done my own work. You know, I've always called the athletic directors from the high schools, and back in the AHA days, I called the team owners and the team coaches and set up interviews and stuff like that and did all my work. And now you're in the ACHL, and there's this mindset of you provide the broadcasters all the information, your fellow broadcaster all the information. So Mike Maduno, who's absolutely awesome with the Kalamazoo Wings, flops all this information on this desk, bios on all the players. I can tell you what any Kalamazoo Wings favorite food is, what their favorite cartoon is, their favorite rock band, their favorite song, their favorite movie, not to mention all of their statistics and their careers and everything else. And I'm thinking, oh, you want me to provide this to you about the Iceman? Because I've always done all the work myself. So then I had all that information. So then I was scrambling to put it all together to give it to Mike for his broadcast. So, madness. Absolute madness.
So what about the weekly notes you mentioned before the show?
Oh, yeah. You have to, at the end, Sunday, by Monday at noon, you have to submit the weekly notes. And it's just, it's real simple, where it's your record for the week, any streaks that are ongoing, and any notable things that are coming up. That's it. And it's all one sentence. It says there specifically in the rules, one sentence. These must be one sentence. I didn't know if that it was for any specific reason in the past.
Maybe,
but
it was the Terry Pignorelli rule, because he couldn't do anything in one sentence.
And the league was really cool. They sent an email out to all the teams saying, some of you have not sent in your league notes today.
You know, I'm sure you were not the only one.
I don't have any proof of that.
I would bet you were not. Even so. Guys who've been doing this for a while, because it's the first weekend and there's a million things going on, I'm sure it slipped through the cracks for more than one.
I hope so. That would make me feel better.
Right.
But, so I got that done.
The good thing is, if it's someone that's experienced and they forget to do it, it's that they just weren't prepared enough or whatever. You can legitimately plead ignorant, which is not a stretch.
No, any day.
Exactly, yeah. That's just called your general existence.
But that's just part of the joy of being a professional broadcaster is there's a lot more than just talking on the radio.
Yeah, I would imagine.
They should have told me that when I interviewed.
So any other interesting scoop from inside Iceman HQ?
I think that's about it.
You don't want to do 45 minutes on that this week?
No.
Okay.
It's different now. Training camp, I will talk a little bit about training camp was tough. Training camp was, a lot of people's feelings get hurt because you got to cut a lot of guys. And I know for a fact that there are parents that called and emailed from players that got cut to coach saying, can't you find a spot for my boy and everything else? And this has always happened. This happens at every level, youth, professional. It happened in the past, so I'm well aware of it. It's just a hard time to pack these guys up. They come out, they come to practice, and they give their all, and you still have to say you're not good enough.
Right.
And so you can't just, coach can't do this to people and then just be jolly, happy-go-lucky. So he kind of grounded on some people in the office, and he picked on me a lot. Not that he picked on me, but I made some mistakes, and he let me know that I made mistakes, and he's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. He's a guy that you want to work for the rest of your life, because he will tell you that you're doing stuff wrong, but he won't insult you, and he won't demean you, and he doesn't yell. It's just the brutal truth. Hey, you screwed this up. Can you fix this? Are you capable of fixing this?
And then fix it.
And get it done.
Right.
And it's really simple. So, but now the team is set and the guys are loose and coach is loose and it's just a whole different atmosphere. And you can feel that cut down day.
So the entire office, was it just total relaxation and relief?
I don't know about
not relaxation, but
because the office is still different because they're still they're not getting cut. They're still, that was opening day. And then now it's our first
next one.
And it's our first Sunday afternoon game. So everyone's got less time to prepare and everything else. So it's still totally different. But as far as the locker room goes with the players and everything else, that's kind of settled down into a rhythm now.
So I know the Iceman office opened to the public at 1-ish on Saturday. How early was everyone in there? You said you were in there early.
Yep. I was first one in at 7, and I think people were coming in at about, I think Jess was in at about 8. So yep.
So there you go. If people don't know how hard the people in this office work, they're in at 8, 9 a.m. Yep. And stay there. The game doesn't end until 10 o'clock.
And that's not even mentioned, like Jennifer Clary, who runs the Igloo and everything else. She was there that Wednesday night when I was working, putting all that stuff in. She had 14 interns getting all the merchandise labeled and prepared to be taken over and everything else.
We have that many interns?
Yep.
Wow.
She has that many interns.
Maybe that's what you need. You need an intern.
I do. Her name is Lindsay Hildebrand.
Really?
She's from USI, and she was up with the off-ice officials. And she actually came in Thursday, and I trained her on some of the league stats stuff. And she because I hadn't even had time. I put the roster in Wednesday, but I hadn't had time to close out the preseason roster because you have to put end dates when all the guys got cut. Mm-hmm. So she researched and got all those dates, and actually data entered all that stuff for me.
So, interesting.
Yep.
So who was responsible for putting jersey numbers in? Because there's a few of them that were
that
wrong.
I think is an ECHL screw up. Because what you have to do is I took the preseason roster, and then you have a forward button, so the player's already created, and you can forward them on. Mm-hmm. And I fixed Andre Bouvet-Morissette and everything else and forwarded all that on to his number. And for some reason, his training camp number got transferred into the regular season roster, even though I had updated it. So that I believe, is a league stat issue.
So he's going to be 18.
Is it not fixed yet?
I don't know. I haven't checked it since the game. I just know.
Put that up for more work for me to do.
And I think Clemente was listed as 36.
Yeah, that one I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah. Well, he was listed that way. Ian had him as 36 on the website, too.
Yeah, but he could maybe have just been taking that from me, though. That one I'm not sure if I typoed that one or that one I'm not, or if we had a jersey change or something. Huh. That one I need to look into.
Interesting.
So, yeah. I actually have another intern coming in. She's not an intern, but a friend of mine that's going to work. She's going to do double duty wherever it's needed, off-ice official or with me in the booth, keeping up with paperwork and stuff as well. So
did you have someone in the booth with you on Saturday? You flew solo.
Well, other than Ron Gary in the middle of my broadcast walking in with his entire family. There's like 12 people, and they're all – and I turn around. I'm like, oh – hi, boss. Are you enjoying the game? And then I chirped at him a little bit, told him he looked good on the face-off, the ceremony puck drop.
Dude, we saw him, like I said, he came out and talked to the Booster Club for a few minutes after the game. I told him, because we got a shutout victory, you have to wear the tux and the bow tie every game until we lose.
Cool.
He chuckled. I don't know that he really took me seriously.
Nope.
I'm like, seriously, it's hockey superstition.
Everywhere.
You wear the same thing.
Like,
you don't wash it. You sleep in it until the next game.
Yep.
So
that was the only one that joined. I had a lot of guests come in, and that's going to be kind of the theme, both home and away, is a lot of guests coming into the booth.
That's cool.
I have Lewis Hayes, who helped me do color commentating back in the AHA days when we won the championship, mm-hmm. and he was on the away broadcast. He's going to be joining me on some games. Andrew Mackey, who did Castle Football with me. He's a reporter for a newspaper out in North Carolina. We'll be doing color commentating on the Greenville games. And Brother Jake will be doing some color commentating in Gwinnett.
Really?
Over Thanksgiving.
Cool.
And David Visser of Howie's Hockey Tape will be joining me in the booth at intermission for Kalamazoo this Saturday night.
Cool.
So I have a lot of friends.
So you're going to have color commentators on the road.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yep.
Are you going to do that for any home games?
That I don't know. That's all just kind of we'll see. I'm more interested in working in guests at the intermission. So
yeah, that's good. And the guests before the games, too. I wish I could hear them all for at least the home games. Yep. I think it would be interesting to hear what the opposition has to say. Are you going to do anything with Coach?
Ian does an interview with Coach, and that gets put on as well.
Mm. Cool.
So, yep.
Good stuff.
Yep.
I guess we'll move on to our next segment.
Drilling the mouth.
We already did that.
Oh, yeah.
Boy.
So long,
Raptors.
Somebody
needs to drill the mouth in the Brano. Good grief.
So long, Raptors.
I thought I would mention...
Is this a river thing? Are we back to Pirates?
Arrgh! Get you into that raft. Get out of me boat, you scurvy dog.
Where was all this 10 hours ago?
Okay, we're rated R now, ladies and germs.
I'm going back. I'm editing that out. Hold on. We got to pause here. I'm better. So I'm better.
All right, we decided not to edit it out because it was really freaking funny.
Yep.
So I'm hopefully I remembered to beep that.
You need to beep it with "you will," or else that'll be the last overtime. and you should beep it with the new goal horn.
I don't have the new goal horn.
Well, with a goal horn.
Or with
See,
a goal
I was
horn?
I was transcending
hey, yeah,
into the transitioning. into the new goal horn.
That would be pretty good to use a hockey goal.
I like that.
That's good. So, since we were talking.
Not just a pretty face.
We were talking about pirates, and Soupy brought this up while we were paused.
Yep.
But, yeah, that's one of my favorite pirate jokes is that.
Driving me nuts.
What did the pirate say about the steering wheel attached to his belt?
Arrgh, you're driving me nuts.
Yep. So long, rafters. Boy, that sent you off.
Yes.
I know. That sent you off on such a tangent. It's wonderful, though. This was actually, Saturday was the first time I've ever gotten to watch a game at the Ford Center from somewhere other than the press box.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I really do appreciate it. I got to sit down in the asylum, actually, at the top of the asylum with my wife Amanda, and actually just kind of be a fan. And I'm still working, but a different type of work from what I've done for the last few years, and it was a lot of fun. I do want to say the new goal horn, I knew that there were issues at the end of last season with the goal horn not working, but I thought they had just fixed it, but it sounds like it's a totally different goal horn to me.
I didn't even hear the goal horn because the crowd is so friggin' loud.
Oh, man.
I couldn't even hear myself through the noise-canceling headphones.
It was crazy loud. That's bullet number three on this. You can hear it to some extent. I mean, you can hear the ebbs and flows of the crowd noise from in the press box, but you don't know how loud it is until you're actually in the middle of it. And holy crap, our fans, when there's a big hit, when there's a fight, when there's a goal especially, it is nuts.
Yep.
And it's wonderful. And that's one of those things that really cannot be understated as a selling point for this team when you're trying to bring players in. Because
it isn't understated, and you'll see that if you watch on the blue line. I believe Dylan Clark, if it didn't get edited out, I didn't think it did, though, actually brings up the crowd is so loud here, it was a no-brainer for me to come back to this town.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Our crowd base actually brings free agents to this town.
That's awesome.
Yep.
You put together the fan base in such a great building, and it really is a total package for a player. You know, all other things being equal, those things will put a guy over the top.
Yep.
So, the goal horn sounds the new goal horn sounds much better if it is a new one. If it's the old one and they just fixed it, it sounds a lot better than it used to. And the fans are crazy loud. Like I said, we sat in the top of the asylum, and let me tell you, while we all miss Brad Perkins, even without him, the cowbell army that's in the top the top row of the asylum, holy cow, they're nuts. And someone, I don't know who it is, but someone has jingle bells too.
Oh, nice.
It is crazy loud.
I didn't hear any
and
of that.
I'm not sure how my son Evan is going to take all that noise. We'll find out on Sunday because he's going to be there. We sent him to Grandma and Grandpa's on Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
So he'll be experiencing the cowbell army for the first time on Sunday. So, I thought having been up in the press box when you're working, and intermissions is about filling out paperwork, and I used to the last 2 years I was doing face-off stats for Coach, so. The period would end, and I would tally everything up. I'd make copies, and I'd have to run all the way down from the fifth floor to the bowels of the building to the locker room, and then I
run
have to
literally
run,
because there's only two elevators.
Right, there's only two elevators. Half the time, one of them isn't working, and even if it is, it's so busy with people going back and forth to the suites that you don't bother. So, literally, run up and down five flights of stairs basically to get back and forth to the locker room. And there were times when I would be running back into the press box in the final 30 seconds of the intermission just to get back and start the next period. So the games always went really fast for me because it was nonstop. And I thought maybe sitting in the stands would be different. It's not. I mean, it's amazing how, regardless of what you're doing, the games are so much fun and there's so many people and it's such a family atmosphere. It's like you get there and the next thing you know, it's over.
Yeah. And part of it, too, was – because I was talking to Maddie Spaeth about it after the game.
Man crush!
And he said in the second period, we had 7 minutes without a stoppage of play.
Yeah, there was a really long stretch
it
there.
It was 7:23.
I think the first media timeout wasn't until like 9 minutes left in the period. So, yeah, it's amazing how fast it goes by. And I don't know, maybe it'll slow down a little bit as the season goes on. Maybe it was just really, really fast because it was the opener. But did it go fast for you?
Yeah, it went really
fast. Flew by, too?
Yep.
Cool. So, anyway, my first game not sitting in the rafters at the Ford Center. And really the least amount of work I've ever done in an Iceman game. So it was a lot of fun to just sit and be a fan for the most part.
Yep.
Especially – you know, the work I'm doing now is only through the first two periods. So for the third period, I get to just sit and watch.
Yeah, and you're
and
not
take some
you're not
notes.
Doing official ECHL work either. So
right.
You can be a fan.
So I can be a fan and yep. wear my jersey and cheer and whatnot. And I still, I use a clipboard for the paperwork I'm working on, and then I still keep my pen out and take notes for this show and whatnot. So I was still taking a few notes during the third period, but for the most part, it's just watching.
Last year too, where I didn't do as much off-ice officials, but for us, it's still work when we go to the game.
Right.
You're still taking notes.
Yeah, still taking notes.
Hockey mind on, yep.
But it's a lot less work than it has been in the past, so it was nice.
Lucky you. CHL news?
Wanted to kind of discuss what's going on over in the CHL. Since we're not in the league anymore, I didn't want to put this in the on-air portion of the show, but I figured it was at least worth rattling through here on the overtime segment. There are some former Icemen scattered all over the CHL, including some big names from our past that are on six different teams out of the 10 teams in the league. The Allen Americans have Dan Tatro. The Arizona Sun Dogs have Damian Surma.
I think he scored a goal in their opener, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I believe so. The Denver Cutthroats have Nick Schneider.
Good to see him.
Yeah, he
somewhere.
Was in camp with, I think he was in camp with either Wichita or Tulsa and didn't make the cut, but then Denver signed him. Quad City has Jim McKenzie and Jordan Lane.
Jordan Lane, that's amazing. I'd like to see him play again.
See if he's improved.
Yep.
Yeah. St. Charles has Steve Macway.
I always enjoyed watching him play.
And the Tulsa Oilers have Todd Robinson and Jake Obermeyer.
Right,
that's where
Obi.
He landed. So good to see that he found a place to land so quickly. Wanted to mention is not been a strong start for the CHL's two expansion teams. The St. Charles Chill 2 weeks ago had a preseason game against the Missouri Mavericks, which is the other team that their owners own, and they made it free. And even though it was free, they didn't quite draw 3,000 people, which did not bode well. But then, maybe it's a preseason game. People just don't want to come, whether it's free or not. Well, they had their home opener for the regular season on Saturday, and they only drew 33-31.
You think that's bad?
For a home opener on a Saturday?
I think that's awesome for them.
Do you really?
Heck yeah. In that market, with St. Louis Blues and all the college hockey and all the high school hockey and development juniors.
Can they sustain it? If they only draw 3,300 for a home opener, it's going to go down from there. They're going to be drawing 1,500 for weekday games.
Maybe. Well, that's what we draw.
In reality, we put it through the Iceman calculator,
so,
and it's a lot more than
exactly.
That.
But I think 3,000.
You think that's pretty good?
I think it is.
Really?
For that market? Heck yeah.
So what about Brampton? Meanwhile, they drew 30-36 for their home opener on Friday. They also had home games on Sunday and Monday. They drew 25-11 on Sunday and only 20-17 on Monday. What do you think about that?
Well, I think 20-17 is awesome on Monday. And I guess I'd like to see compare them to the OHL. If they left the OHL and
what
their
the
numbers,
were doing.
If they've cut in half, then I say, ooh, that could be bad. But so that one I'm not too sure about because that's Canada.
We'll see how they settle down. I really worry about St. Charles. I think,
shoot, our first year we couldn't draw more than 1,600.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So and they're doubling that. I don't think that's bad at all.
We'll see. We'll see what they're doing come January when they have a Wednesday game against Arizona. Hypothetically, I don't know what their schedule is.
Yep.
But, when they get to the point where the newness
shoot,
wears
I
want to
see what we draw on a Wednesday game.
Yeah.
Against Wheeling.
I want to see what we do against Arizona.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Denver, the Cutthroats. This is their second season. They started pretty weak at the gate, as far as I'm concerned. Their home opener was Friday. They only drew 21-52. They had a rematch with Tulsa on Saturday and only drew 17-41 on a Saturday. I'm thinking the strong start for the Avalanche has to be hurting them because they averaged 29-81 last year, which isn't great, but that's not terrible either. Meanwhile, the Avs' attendance is up about 1,000 per game this year. So
Patrick Waugh,
yeah.
Joe Sakic taking over.
Yeah,
development duties in hockey office movies or hockey office. Did I say movies?
Yes,
hockey office stuff. Something debutted.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen in Denver. If they keep drawing 17-41 on Saturdays, they're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah. That one's that's a tough market, though.
Yeah, definitely. And also, the CHL has hired a new commissioner. They hired a guy by the name of Steve Ryan to replace Dwayne Lewis. And Steve has quite a resume in pro sports. He spent 14 years as the president and COO of NHL Enterprises, which is the league's subsidiary that oversees licensing, corporate sponsorship, and event marketing operations. While in that role, he also handled the annual NHL awards ceremony and spearheaded the Hockey Hall of Fame's move to its current location in Toronto. It was in Toronto, but it moved to a new place.
So is this just a job for him, or is this getting him ready to getting the CHL to merge?
I wonder. So he's got big-time experience in the NHL. When he left there, he was the president and COO of the holding company that operates the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep.
And more recently, he spent 8 years as commissioner and CEO of the Major Indoor Soccer League. So this guy's got quite a resume.
Yep.
The question is exactly that. Is he being brought in to prep the league for a merger or pseudo-merger with the ECHL? I don't think we'll ever see a true merger. I think it would be the ECHL will absorb the strong teams, and the weak teams will either be left to drop to single A or juniors or fold. Are they really trying to right the ship and stay around long-term?
Yeah, I could see both, but there isn't an absorbing thing because you got to write the check for $1 million.
You basically the ECHL could cherry pick the franchises they want and say if you're willing to pay.
Well, I think they would take them all.
They would take all of them? Even
if they all wrote a check for $1 million, you darn well sure bet that they would take every single one of those.
No matter how poorly they're doing at the box office,
who cares? As long as the check cashes.
Well, if they're doing really bad at the box office, the check might not.
Well, then they don't get into the league,
right? Yeah.
So, but once that first million, you write a check for $1 million and it cashes and you fold 3 weeks later, I'm sure they're plenty fine with that.
So right now, at this very moment, knowing what we know, if you had to put money on the CHL existing next season or not existing, which would you put your money down
on? I'm putting it on existing.
You think so?
I lean towards this guy was brought in to help the foundation of the league. They got some big money there.
Yeah.
And they have a good product. They have a horrible geography.
Yes.
But
that's their biggest problem is geography.
But they've got a way to deal with it as far as no players union and a few other cuts that they don't have to do like the NHL.
Aren't they unionized now? Mm-hmm. Don't they have a deal with the PHPA or did it expire and they...
Yeah, I don't think they have any deal.
Hmm.
So, yep.
Interesting. So, that's all of our CHL discussion.
Cool.
Now we get to the game I referred
to.
We are going to play the Iceman name game.
Okay.
I thought it would be kind of fun to play this using Iceman players.
We're not keeping statistics,
no,
are we?
Good. Past and present. The rules are simple for those that don't know the name game. This is where you name a player whose first name starts with the same letter that ended the last name of the previous player. So, like if we were using Leafs and I said David Clarkson, you would say Nazem Kadri because Clarkson ends with N, Nazem starts with N.
Oh,
so that's what
crap
we would do. So
this should not be done at 12:30 in the morning.
So we'll play this little game, and we'll see how long it goes. We may only play it once, but I'll start off the first time. Well, let's start off with Josh Beaulieu, or Beaulieu, ends with U.
Okay, thank
your
you.
Your turn. First name starts with U.
First name starts with U. We're done.
Tick, tock, tick, tock.
Do we have someone that started with U? I've got last names.
Is your final answer no?
Yes, my final answer is no.
That's correct.
Okay.
I win by checkmate.
How?
Because I said Josh Beaulieu, and you couldn't come up with one.
This is the stupidest game ever.
No, that was a trick. No, I'll let you.
I'm thinking Vodich, and I'm thinking Yurasev,
right.
But I couldn't work their first names.
Exactly,
in
yeah.
I'm thinking way too hard for your shenanigans.
I'm just screwing with you, trying to see if I can get you to drop an F-bomb again.
So. Yeah, I'm about ready to pull out the czar of tater smoking.
wow. Okay.
There you go.
So I'll let you start. We'll play for real this time.
I'm saying David Cruteau.
That was the other one I was thinking. All right, we're tied at 1-1.
Crap. Okay, let me think. Let's go. Oh, man, it is too late to be doing this. Ryan Ford. Don't say David Cruteau. I'm going to smoke you.
Dan Dunn.
Ooh, Nazem Kadri.
He has never played for the Iceman.
Sorry.
Much as you would love it. You paid $10,000 for his jersey.
No, I would rather him play for the Leafs because he is Nazem the Dream. Dan Dunn. Nick Schneider.
Ryan Ford.
What? We already used Ryan Ford.
Oh, yeah. That's what you started with, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, Dan Dunn.
Like you said, it's too late to be doing this game.
The game at when to start overtime.
Yeah. Ryan Strayer.
Ryan Strayer. Ross Herrmann.
He's not a player.
Oh, okay. Staff doesn't count?
No.
The Stray Cat. I like that.
Is that what you called him on the air?
No, that was his nickname for
Ryan
the
Strayer?
In
really?
The locker room. Yeah, Stray Cat. Stray Cat.
Well, that
Strayer.
Brings whole new meaning to me having played Stray Cat Strut at the games. I didn't know it was a tribute to him.
So we're at Ryan Strayer,
which ends with Arr. No help from Soupy.
Rich Crom. I'm good with the staff. I'm not so good with the players.
Yeah, think goalie.
I can't think, period. Ray Emery?
First season goalie.
Oh, Ray Wagner.
That was Matt Wagner.
Oh, shit. Ray Wagner.
Am I going to have to?
All right.
Okay, we're good.
41-24. Ray Wagner plays in the B League.
I'm goalie done. From last year.
I'm done. Oh, Rob Mandor. I'm stuck on Ray. Rob Mandor.
Ed Hudik.
Oh, my gosh. You need a life. Ed Hudik. Does that end with a C or a K? I'm thinking
K.
David Cruteau. Kevin Moore.
Very good. Yeah, that's good. Earl Hudik.
Bastard.
Do I have to honk that out too?
Keith, Kevin, Kirk, Kira Hurley. Now what you going to do?
I think that's checkmate. I don't think there's a Y. Let me think.
It was Ilya Yurasev, right?
Yeah, started with
an
I.
So the Y comes in later.
I don't think we've had a Y. Yeah.
That's bizarre that we did 5 goalies in that.
Hmm.
All right, that game sucks.
I think you win because I don't think there's a Y.
Oh, crap!
We got your new segment.
We got the new segment.
Yeah.
And now, only on Iceman Insights, Stunningly Shockley, starring Ivy Benigni. How are you doing, Ivy?
Great.
So the Iceman won last week. How do you think Michael Shockley celebrates an Iceman victory? Does he go out on the town and paint it red? Does he say woohoo? Does he dance? What do you think Michael Shockley does?
He probably yells very loud and says the Iceman won.
Do you think Michael Shockley is a good dancer or a bad dancer?
Very bad dancer.
Okay. Are there any last thoughts you would like to share on Michael Shockley?
No.
This has been Derek Benigni and Ivy Benigni on Stunningly Shockley. Say goodbye, Ivy.
There you go. Stunningly Shockley.
That's beautiful.
Yep.
And she's right. I'm a terrible dancer.
Uh-huh.
That's good. I like that.
So we will have that segment for overtime every week.
Oh, really?
Stunningly Shockley.
So you're going to talk to Ivy on the air. Nice.
Yep. So that's scoop.
I'm sure that will produce some very interesting stuff over
She is like her dad. Pretty whacked. The worst Ivy story.
Whacked in the braino?
Yes, he is whacked in the braino. The worst thing, we were playing the other day, and she's, have you seen, you probably haven't seen it because you have a boy because you're lucky. La La Loopsy, this?
No, can't say that I have.
It's these crazy punk rocky kind of cutesy Hello Kitty kind of dolly girly things.
So it's right up your alley.
Yeah. So she's like, can we play La La Loopsy? And of course I say, yes, of course we can play La La Loopsy. And she says, okay, my character is going to be, I created her myself. Her name is Cinnamon Freakley. And I'm thinking, damn girl, you're going to be swinging on a pole when you're 18 years old, when you're coming up with names like Cinnamon Freakley. It just crushed me as a father figure.
She going to go work at the Busybody Lounge?
Exactly. That's where I met her mama at to begin with. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
What was her dancing name?
Fur Circus.
Well, was this back in the 70s?
Yes. All right. Are we done? I go to bed.
I think her name is now newly divorced. Yeah. Derek's ex.
Happy divorcee.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Are we done?
We're done.
Anything else?
Soupy in the studio audience once again. Thank you very much, Soupy. Yeah.
How long has this gone?
45 minutes.
Ah, that's a cut down from last week.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Overtime was an hour and 15 minutes last week.
All right. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.